Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Ki Tisa. This week, Rabbi Meir Schweiger discusses Ki Tisa. Rabbi Meir Schweiger is a senior member of the Pardes faculty and also serves as the Pardes Mashgiach Ruchani, the spiritual guide for Pardes. And now, Rabbi Meir Schweiger.
Thank you, Larry. This week's parsha is Parshat Ki Tisa. The central topic is the sin of the golden calf. Today I would like to focus on one aspect of the story, which is the breaking of the tablets. When Moses is on top of the mountain, receiving the tablets, God says to him, "Hurry, you must go down, because the people have become corrupted. They have built for them a graven image, a calf. They have bowed down to it. They have sacrificed to it. They have said, 'These are the gods who took you out of Egypt.'" And in chapter 32, verse 15, we are told, Moses turns, he goes down from the mountain. He takes the tablets with him in his hand, the tablets of testimony. And these tablets are very special. They are written on both sides. They are the writing of God, the action of God. And now I would like to focus in on verse 19. "And it was when Moshe came close to the camp, he saw the calf and the dancing, and he became angry, and he cast down from his hands the tablets, and he broke them at the foot of the mountain." What prompted Moshe to break the tablets? The first thing that we need to note is that God did not tell him to do so. This was a unilateral decision on his part. If we go by the simple meaning of the text, it says that Moshe became angry and he cast down the tablets. One could theoretically say that when Moshe saw them dancing around the calf, he became infuriated. He was overcome with anger, and this was an uncontrolled fit of rage that motivated him to do so. It is interesting that a number of commentaries raise the question, why is it now that Moshe becomes so angry? Why wasn't he angry earlier when God told him what happened? And a number of the commentaries focus on what Moshe sees, what angers him, what causes him to respond, is not the calf so much as the dancing which is going around it. The Sfurno, a classic medieval commentary, says that when Moshe saw that the people were rejoicing in this horrific thing which they did, in worshiping idols which they had been told at Sinai that you should have no other god, the joy in their actions brought him to great despair. Despair that they would never be able to correct the wrong that they had done. Rabbi Samson Lefal Hirsch, who I've quoted on numerous occasions, perhaps the most significant figure of Orthodox Jewry in the 1800s, says that there is no comparison between a sin which is done because of some intellectual awareness versus a sin which is motivated by desire and lust. He says that if the Jewish people had come to some sort of philosophical understanding of idolatry, then it could be possible to convince them intellectually that this was wrong. But it seems that their relationship to idolatry was very much ingrained in their psyche. And the moment it burst out in dancing and revelry, Moshe had no response to that, other than to basically come to the conclusion there is no hope for this people, and hence the breaking of the tablets. The breaking of the tablets, which is an expression of frustration, anger. One could very easily understand how Moshe, who had taken the Jews out of Egypt, taken them through the Red Sea, brought them to Sinai, how much he had put out on their behalf. And then to see that it was for naught, to see how all of the experiences which they had had, had somehow not changed their fundamental psyche, which was very much steeped in paganism. All the explanations which I've given till now may very well see Moshe's act as a spontaneous act, or as the Ramban, Nachmanides, says, he wasn't able to control himself. He just let go. But we find actually in rabbinic literature and in subsequent commentaries to the present day, a very, very different approach. Moshe's action was premeditated. It was not done out of anger and frustration, but rather it was done towards some higher purpose. And there are three different approaches here. First of all, we find in the Talmud, in Masechet Shabbat, on page 87, that the Talmud speaks of three things that Moshe did on his own, not being commanded by God, where in the end God affirmed what he did. And our situation is one of them, which means that according to the Talmud, what Moshe did here was seen as a very, very positive act by God. But even more so, what Moshe did was a premeditated act. Towards what end? One explanation which is offered in Shmot Rabbah is that Moshe does this as a way of assuaging God's anger. Moshe does this as a way of perhaps defending the Jewish people. What does that mean? The tablets are described as the tablets of the testimony. The tablets testify to the Ten Commandments at Sinai. If Moses has the tablets in the presence of the people, the tablets are testifying against the people who have violated what they heard at Sinai. Moses smashes the tablets before he gives them or presents them to the people. Analogous to a bride who commits adultery, where the messenger tears up the marriage document before she receives it, as a way of somehow trying to mitigate the evil that was done. That is one approach which resonates in a number of midrashic comments. But there is a second approach, which appears in a number of late medieval commentaries, which says that Moshe is doing this as an educational model. Moshe wants to demonstrate to the people, you do not deserve these tablets. Moshe wants to change their mood from one of revelry to one of mourning. And perhaps if the people realize the depth of their sin, if people realize the implications of what they've done, that the covenant with God has been broken, then maybe they will change their ways. The Netziv, who I've also mentioned on numerous occasions, says that Moshe wanted to break the heart of the people, to make them agitated, with the hope that they would perhaps recognize what they've done, change their ways, and reinstate their relationship with God. There is a third approach that is taken by a commentary, the Meshech Chochmah, Rabbi Meir Midvinsk, who lived in the early 1900s, who said that Moshe broke the tablets because Moshe wanted to teach the people that there is nothing which is inherently holy. The moment one ascribes inherent holiness to to anything other than God. That is idolatry. Even the tablets can become idolatrous. Yeshayahu Leibowitz, a very well-known philosopher who passed away a number of years ago, had great trouble with the attitude of people towards the Kotel, the Western Wall. And in his purest critique, he said that this was a modern form of idolatry. Personally, I do not subscribe to that. But what I would say is the following. The point which is being made here is that ultimately, whatever material things we have should be a means, not an end, in our worshiping of God, should direct us to worship of God, rather than be a substitute for that. And when Moshe saw the people worshiping the calf, Moshe was concerned that maybe the people, if he brought them the tablets, would worship the tablets. And therefore he wanted to give them this educational message. As I mentioned, we have a number of different approaches to why Moshe did this. Was this something which was a reflex action? Was it premeditated? And if it were premeditated, is Moshe expressing his disillusionment with the people, his despair? Or is Moshe trying to educate them? Perhaps I should end by saying, when we look in the continuation of the parsha, God tells Moshe in the beginning of chapter 34, carve out to you two tablets of stone as the first ones, and I will write on the tablets the words which I wrote on the first ones that you broke. Is God telling Moshe, carve out to you those stones, because you need to have a corrective, you Moshe, for having broken those tablets? This would be against the Midrash, the Gemara that I cited earlier. As if God is saying, you broke my tablets. Now you need to play a role in making new tablets. You need to correct the action which you unjustly did. Or perhaps there is another idea which is being expressed, that maybe the people have shown that they need to have more of a partnership with God. And therefore these tablets cannot only be the work of God, but they need to be the work of people as well. And perhaps this is a statement which then sets the stage for how the Torah is given subsequently. The Torah is not only the word of God which is imposed, but for the Torah to take root, there needs to be a human dimension which helps shape it. Yes, it is the handwriting of God, but the handwriting of God that needs to be imprinted on something created by man. And this perhaps becomes the first step in what will subsequently happen when the Jews construct the tabernacle. This now becomes a partnership between the Jews and God in somehow guarding and preserving the Torah, in bringing God's presence into the world. In Kabbalistic literature, there is the concept of Shvirat Kelim, breaking the vessels. Sometimes there is a need to break the vessels to allow for rebuilding. And perhaps one could make the case for building something even greater. So that rather than see Moshe's breaking of the tablets as being something negative, we can see the breaking of the tablets as being the beginning of the corrective, of the ability to now open up a new world, a new understanding, and create an even greater relationship with God. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Schweiger. Thank you for tuning in, and we look forward to seeing you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.